I just believe in the process, and we're going to win going through the process.
Now, Bills Mafia, it's time for the main event. So sit back and enjoy the show.
Bills Mafia, welcome to the Red, White and Buffalo Blues. Mark, Robin, myself, Matt, here to talk Bills news with a UK twist. And I think it was a nail-biter this week four game. Any advances on nail-biter?
this was an Alex Ferguson squeaky bum time.
This was a punch yourself in the face, bash your head with a chair leg first half, and then a much pleasing and satisfactory second half with the perfect finish. It was a roller coaster. It got very low and then got very good later on.
But no, I think for me, and it's 3-1. I think with that, it really defined us. I mean, you know, we know the narrative, and we're going to talk about it, that the Bills can't win the close game.
I think
now we can write that off. And at one point during that game, I think it wasn't looking good. It's looking like it was going to be a runaway victory for the Ravens. And well, obviously, I went up to the backers bar to watch it. I know there are new listeners probably listening to this because I did try and plug the show as much as possible. So I'm hoping they're listening to it when
good
it goes
man.
Out.
Well done. Please doing the marketing. Well done.
Yeah. Nice one.
We also had the Ravens, the UK Ravens, next door in the same pub, in our pub. They did not know it was our pub. They did not know it was our pub.
I bet you could hear them perfectly loudly.
We heard them. We heard them for the first bit, and then after that, you could hear a pin drop on the other side. Literally, I think every single time someone had the train noise they make on third down?
The third down.
They were playing that out loud in that second half. I think every single thing we cheered, I think the staff were actually thinking, what the fuck is going on? Someone's going to start a war going here. But it was a friendly atmosphere. There was no fighting, unfortunately. Obviously, the special guest that turned up, which...
Yeah,
I assume you guys are a bit disappointed you can make it, or...
Some of us have to work for a living, you know?
I'm happy for you, Matt, that you made it. I'm really happy we all got to meet, that you got to meet Aaron Williams. I'm glad you got to meet the Bills backers. I'm glad he
played.
I hope he was pleased as well. Awesome that he
showed up. That's really cool.
Yeah.
Even when the day before he went to the West Ham game.
Oh, good man.
Oh, so we can't have everything, can we?
nobody's perfect.
No. So,
tell me how United did against City.
Sorry. What we're talking about the Bills here. Let's move on.
Yeah. Come on. Stay focused. Can I ask a question, Matt? Were any the Ravens? Did you get a sense, obviously, with the noises and everything? What was the sense of the Ravens felt about their team, their season? Did they feel that they threw it away? Did they feel that they regressed to the mean? Do they think that they surprised anyone by how well they played? Because they've been a little up and down. I think they're a very good team, and they'll be there or thereabouts at the end. I just wonder what they thought.
I think when I spoke to them initially on their podcast on Tuesday, they were there a bit apprehensive about the game. Obviously, seeing what that happened when they played Miami, and obviously going into it 2-1, there was a bit of apprehension on there. At the beginning, I think there was still that little bit of apprehension, but knowing that they could possibly get something, and obviously as that first half went through, you could just see their confidence growing. And I just think, I don't know, he didn't really give an explanation why of that about that second half, but they admit it was a close game. Maybe they said one or two of those flags probably cost them a little bit more, but I just think they were just just in awe pretty much on how we managed to adjust in that second half, both offense and defense, and actually gone two whole quarters, like I think for the fourth straight game, without actually letting an opponent score.
Seven points in the second half this season.
Yeah, though. That's it. We've conceded 7 points, I think, to Miami in the fourth quarter. We haven't conceded a point in the third quarter yet so far this season. That to me is a huge thing. This is a massive, massive win. I don't think it can be understated enough. After the back of the Miami game, with the way that it went there, and there was, you know, the questions started to be asked. Oh, you know, like you rightly pointed out, the narrative of Buffalo can't win close games. If they're not winning blowouts, they don't win. AFC rival in Baltimore, going there, being down as much as we were, to come back, win that game, again, not concede any points in the second half, make the coaching adjustments that they're clearly making, and to stop them scoring against, to stop Lamar Jackson scoring in an entire half of football is no small thing. Mm. There's not many teams are going to do that. To stop that and to pull out a win, like, it's not that, if we were 23-10 up and ended up winning the game 23-20, you can't win. You think you're delighted that you've won. But to go and win it in the manner that we did, stopping them with a few seconds left, then going and kicking the winning field goal, this feels like a massive game from a you know, momentum point of view, a motivation point of view. And it's, I really think this kicks us on for a good large part of the season. Because we lose this game 2-2 all of a sudden. People are saying, oh, maybe they're not quite as good as everybody thought. You've got the Chiefs in a couple of weeks and you've got three potential losses. It starts to spiral quite quickly. This is a massive fillip for this team. I don't think it could be understated, potentially in the entire context of this season, how big a win this is.
Mm. And the fact that it's like the first time in, what, about 30 nearly 40 years that the Bills have come to actually losing and not taking the lead in a game until the pretty much the final play.
Yes. Yeah. And the first walk-off win for Tyler Bass, kicking one as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
First time he's won it on a walk-off kick. Yeah, I echo absolutely everything Mark says there. I think, again, we don't ever want to take Josh Allen for granted, but my God, did he pull out some just a couple of absolute wonder throws. I mean, the one where I think we all thought he was down. He manages to pull it out. With a toe tap. There was the one where he threw it. I think it was either third down or fourth down to Dawson Knox on the winning drive, and Knox comes down with it in the rain. Then he does a brilliant screen pass as well. Some of the play calling, some of the play from the offense, and it's absolute, you know, 2 minute type offense. It's like it's a Brady or a Manning, Peyton Manning type. You know, you need to get the points, and the fact that they then could game manage it in the last 2 minutes and just, you know, run the ball right up to the goal line, let it tick down. It's exactly what teams have done to us. I remember against the Patriots 5-6 years ago, where the Patriots basically did that. We came all the way back to about 21-all, something like that, and then Brady went down, and it was just, you knew you were going to lose, and we have that kind of, you are going to have to tear it from our cold dead hands to get a win.
It felt nice
as well, given that, you know, McDermott has come in for a bit of probably some slightly questionable discussions around him and his ability to coach a team to win those close ones. It felt quite nice when, you know, John Harbaugh is seen, and John Harbaugh's a fantastic coach, but the decision that he made to go for it on fourth down at 20 all to win the game, I could not understand that decision, given you kick a chip shot field goal there. The Bills then can't go and win it with a field goal in exactly like we did. I get that you think you've got Lamar Jackson, you can go and get a touchdown, and it makes it far harder for the Bills. But surely at 20 points all, knowing that we're going to get the ball back with a minute to go, you take the points to at least make it more difficult. I found that decision baffling. And it was one that I don't think you would see Sean McDermott make in that same decision.
The only possible justification I can think of is that almost Josh Allen was in Harbaugh's head. thinking, if I have to get seven, because if I get three, Josh has got 4 minutes, and he said it in the interview.
I get that, but if you don't get it, you should have gone for the three. You don't get it, and then you're giving Josh Allen 4 minutes, and they've only got to get to the 35. It's so much easier.
Yeah,
I think it's always your damned if you do, damned if you don't moment. I kind of see why you wanted to go for it, because you go seven up. Okay, but then Bills have three timeouts still.
Yeah,
and you're leaving them on the two. If you don't throw a pick, you're running it from the two, aren't you? So he was probably factoring that in as well. We got it on the 20, which meant we had, it's a short, that's two first downs worth, isn't it?
And then, obviously, the reason why, again, the fact that it's Josh Allen and what the offense actually managed to put up in that second half. If you go down that fourth play, take a chip shot, and then go down, then we know how well they can actually run the clock out and how well this offense is actually doing. And it showed in that last drive, the fact that they could have given up the touchdown, that they could have lost the game. Obviously, it ended up they did to give us a shorter field with the interception. But it's one of those really that it's pretty much the gut and how you want to go on it. I mean, I can see the difficulties that he was in for it, but I'm just glad he went for it rather than...
I'm delighted he went for that option. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was much easier. I also quite enjoyed all the dissent on the sideline, because you could tell that there were some people who wanted to let Singletary score on his run. And they were all like, and then they were like, oh, why'd you tackle him? And I quite enjoyed seeing them all arguing with each other. That was quite
good. It's a fundamental almost betrayal of everything those guys who have probably played flag football and touch football from the age of seven or something like that to allow your opponent to score.
It also looked to me like Singletary was also aware, and as someone had said to him beforehand, Don't run it in, get it? Because he wasn't going full tilt either.
No.
I think McDermott did say in his presser that he did tell Singletary on that to actually go down at the one. Luckily, even if the Ravens the defensive tackle didn't come in and take out Singletary, I think he would have gone down at the one, even though they wanted to just let him walk through.
But you have seen it in the past where running backs have gone to do that, and the defensive linemen have shoved them over the end zone to get them in, to make them score. Yeah, pick them up and carry them in as part of a tackle. They obviously a win on our side from a coaching point of view, and a big loss from kind of game awareness from the Ravens, which, again, great, good for us.
Yeah, I mean, from the first half itself, If you have to say percentage wise, where were you on your confidence level of the game? Because obviously, before you came on, before we started it, me and Ron were talking about it, how there was a bit of anxiety, a little bit to start with. Robin almost turned it off. I said to myself, I'm not going back to the pub if we lose quite heavily and all that. Mark, how did you feel after that first half, really? Did you feel the same sort of way, or
so
there's still time?
So up to 10 seconds before the end of the half, my confidence was absolutely zero. I thought at 23, I thought we were done, frankly. We haven't come back from a 17-point deficit, I think, since the Patriots many, many, many years ago. The final drive changed the whole thing in the first half, right? Where we took we had more yards in that drive than we had in the rest of the half put together. And that changed a lot. As soon as we scored that touchdown with the last few seconds, 10-point deficit, knowing how we've been in second halves up to so far this season, if I'm honest, I was quite confident at that point. I thought that we could still pull that out up to that drive. I thought we were done. But it's amazing what one drive, a change that a drive can make. They hadn't made their dominance, because they were so much better. We were awful in that first half. Mm. They hadn't made their dominance probably count as much as maybe they could have done. A couple of field goals that could have been touchdowns. we got away with it somewhat. So to, whereas we've been the other way around, we've let teams off somewhat in the first half in like the Rams game and whoever it was we played week two, we kind of let them off. That was it. This week, I think they let off us to only be winning by 10 points after how dominant they were in that first half. That flattered us, but it meant that considering how we've been, I was still fairly confident. But not before that.
It was the possession either side of half time that really made the difference, because the Ravens would have been thinking, if we go in at 20-6 and then we get a score, even if they only get three on their first possession, 23-6 is three scores. Anyway, very, very difficult to come back. Being 20-10 and then making a stop with the Bills defense, stopping the Ravens from scoring, that was the point that I thought, I think we've got this.
Straight off the half, they were three and out, weren't they? Three and out. We were in field goal next drive.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden it's 2013. You think we're only a touchdown behind now.
Exactly.
And it's game on.
Yes, I think we've got the bit between our teeth now. And it's like, I know I always use tennis metaphors any chance I can get, but it is. They are like the Novak Djokovic of teams. They, even if they go a set down, or even in the five setters where they goes two sets down, you realise Frazier, like Djokovic, is right. Okay, I know what you're doing now. And in that second half, they just shut everyone down. And you watch Djokovic when he's in that third and fourth set, he just doesn't miss. He just keeps getting the ball back, and they can't. And people can't live with it. They can live with it for a bit, and then they. And again, and once they'd got that 20-13. Yeah, I think there was only one winner.
And even then, they controlled the fourth quarter. If you think about it, they had the ball for like 10 minutes in it.
We had
two drives. One was a three and out. When, by the way, some of the play calling from Dorsey, I thought was really, really questionable on some of our drives. When we had rush first down, like short pass second down that was incomplete, rush third down, three and out, you're done. You know, just give the ball to Josh, for crying out loud. And especially in those situations where you're a touchdown down or it's 20-20, I understand you want to control the clock a little bit, but play to your strengths, man. It was, was like, I found that a little bit odd. But they had the ball for when I think they took over that final drive with something like still 13 and a half minutes to go, and ended it with 3.5 minutes to go and came away with no points. That was the massive.
Yeah. I think with that, you've got to give Leslie Frazier a lot of credit on that, because look who they're mostly, no Ed Oliver, they were missing Micah Hyde, no Jordan Phillips, no Benford, they had Trey White on the pup. We've had a few other injuries on that on there. Down 17-3, you've got Lamar Jackson, who up until that game was in contention for MVP MVP consideration, but yet you see that he actually managed to tweak, make that adjustment. And we've seen that again in the Miami game and also in the other games and even last season. The fact that he's able to adjust his defense really helps us a lot, but what also helps is actually having Jordan Poyer back.
Yeah.
He was outstanding, wasn't he?
Yeah,
he makes such a difference, just calms everything down back there. A presence that I think the other guys, especially the rookies, Elam, I think, has been brilliant so far this season. Can't speak highly enough of him. The guy that decided we should draft him, fair play. What's that look for, Matt?
It's the guy that predicted we would.
Wasn't going to say anything, but he's
got to share the credit. I actually wrote it down as well. Last two games, 68 coverage snaps to Elam, two receptions for 10 yards.
It's incredible
for a rookie.
It's all unbelievable, right,
first round rookie, but even so.
I mean, there's plenty of first round rookies that haven't been absolute busts, right?
Flame out, don't they? Yeah.
That's unreal. And again, you knew that the Baltimore, their game isn't passing the ball. But when their leading pass catcher is their running back, you know that you've not had a bad day, and delighted.
I mean, I mean, I think it's now the narrative now. I think Jordan Poyer has probably done enough to either be paid by the Bills or he's going to command a big big final contract, really, for the 31.
You've got to pay him. I know it's hard because there's so many that need paying, but man alive.
Yeah.
I really hope they find a way. Just like make a mockery of the salary cap again. That's like a work of fiction. We've got to find a way to pay him.
If there's one if there's one GM who can find a way, it's probably Bean, isn't it?
I'd like to think so.
You just think with everyone else coming up as well.
I mean, his opponent passer, so the quarterback passer rating when thrown to him last season was only 13.7. This season,
well, mind you, if they're throwing to him, then that's probably why they should throw to the receivers.
Yeah. you get more for spiking the ball, isn't it, or for kneeling? Isn't it? Spiking, isn't it?
Yeah, take three kneels.
But no. And this is math for you. He's obviously had four interceptions, but he's only allowed three catches.
Crazy, isn't it?
Pretty good, isn't it? Yeah, more interceptions than catches allowed.
Yeah, and this is a stat. He's the first Bill to have four interceptions in the first four games since who?
Oh, who was big on interceptions?
Oh, that's a great question.
I'm going to go with my first guess, just because it was my first guess, Jairus Byrd, because I know he used to pick up the whole bunch. All right.
Any ideas, Mark?
So Byrd's a no? Is that what you're saying?
Byrd's a no.
Byrd's
is not the word. And I'm watching Family Guy right now, and that's the and that's the episode when he's doing the Byrd's the word jig.
What about someone like Nate Odoms?
Nope.
Is it this century? Is it 21st
it's
century?
This century. It's this decade. Well, no, it was last decade.
Okay, all right, but sort of a drought era type player.
It's last decade, and it's not a defensive back.
Linebacker. No, you're going to have to tell us.
Yeah, no, don't know.
In his rookie season in 2013, Kiko Alonso.
Kiko Alonso,
wow. Yeah. Yeah, he had a good start, didn't he?
Yeah, so he's the first. And his last time, like Poyer, when Alonso had his two picks in that four games, was against the Ravens.
Ha.
That was a 23-20 win for the Bills.
No way.
Well.
That's a great stat.
So there's a bit of deja vu.
Good. Well, let's hope the season ends better than those ones did.
Well, yeah. That's true.
let's hope the deja vu ends there, right?
But no, I think there's a lot of things to do on there. I mean, obviously we got lucky. So with the questionable, I think, was it the last, right at the end of the game, the last drive? The roughing the passer.
Do you know I think they all even each other out. The Ravens first half especially were holding us uncalled holds more than, you know, it was like they were trying to give us hugs half the time.
Yeah.
And loads of that went uncalled. And yeah, it was it depends on your perspective, doesn't it? I think it's one of those that if it's your team, you think it's exactly right. If it's the other team, then you think it's a dodgy call.
Yeah.
Frankly, we've had so many missed calls so far this season. We're owed one.
But then if you watch the replay, and I think I saved it as a like, because the Bills guys they actually tweeted about it. The ref actually said that he called it because there was forcible contact to the head and neck area of the cornerback with the helmet.
Yeah,
looking at the replay, there wasn't that much. So.
No,
you see the defender, the cornerback, coming on the blitz. Allen throws it. The defender stops.
Yeah,
and goes for it.
Gone,
and then he jumps and takes him out.
He doesn't hit him in the head, but it was still roughing the passer because the ball had gone. He could easily have stopped, and he didn't.
Yeah, I've seen roughing the passes where they just, you know, they tap the guy on the helmet. They just tap him on the helmet, and that throws a flag.
It's
all of six of one half dozen of the other. If you get the flag, great. But I mean, there's been blatant holding at times from players, and I've seen pass interference calls that are just absolutely nothing. And you know, you'll take it if you get the flag. And
I admit before watching that video a little bit closer, I did actually think it was borderline roughing the passer from what I saw, because obviously when you see it in full speed, you have to try and look where the ball is and where the player hits, and you don't usually see the hit itself. But when I was showing that one, that specific clip, and then you see he stops, then actually explodes into it, then it obviously was the correct decision.
Couldn't agree more.
But I think one other thing I've got to say on this one is on the offensive side, it seems like we need to use Singletary more, and it looks like they did that in this game. They only used Cook on like 2% of the plays, and that was a couple of pass catching ones. And I think they used them. Let me get it up here.
Three rushes for 6 yards all game, and he didn't catch a pass.
Yeah.
James Cook was on the field for 2 of the 64 plays. Zach Moss was on for 6 of them. Yeah. So Singletary had 88% of snaps for running back.
Yeah.
And
was our second leading receiver.
Yeah. And our second leading rusher.
That's his role, right? He's never going to be number one.
But I think it is a case they need to start doing that a lot more now. I keep saying it week in, week out. You've got to go with your heavy hand, with your hot hand. And at the moment, even though it's not really getting the rewards that you want, like a Jonathan Taylor, like a Cordell Patterson, Derrick Henry type guy. But for us, it's Singletary is showing a lot more in his game than you have with Cook and Moss. And maybe, and someone did put it out there, maybe we'll see McDermott do to Cook what he did with Basham and another second round pick that we had, I can't remember, was recently, where they actually pretty much made him inactive. AJ Epinesa, that's the one.
Yeah.
Made him inactive for a few games just to sit him down. Because if you're going to use Singletary more, you've got Reggie Gillum and Josh Allen, who can also run the ball as well, you can afford to maybe work him in a little bit more, just ease him in more gently rather than actually just go, yes, there we go.
I think when it comes to James Cook, you know, you fumble the first ever play you have in the NFL, you drop a pass, his confidence has probably got to be pretty low at this point. And I always remember kind of hoping against myself that say Dawson Knox would come through, because I mean Dawson Knox was known as dropping passes as well. But you know, they were patient with him. He got there, he turned it around, and now he's a fantastic tight end. I think the same will probably be true of Cook, because I've got a lot of faith in the way the Bills develop players. You know, they stick with them. They identify the characteristics they're looking for. They identify the work rate and the attitude. And then they trust that process to get the results. And I think they will for James Cook. As you say, making him a healthy scratch, an inactive player, that kind of thing, might do him a bit of good. Let's not forget,
and I know that some of this was when the game was blown, was kind of away from them a little bit. But the Titans game, he rushed 11 times for 53 yards, was by 40 yards our leading rusher that game. Yep. So he showed a little something there. I agree he hasn't done a massive amount yet, but he's not needed to. And I still don't think, you know, Singletary for me is never going to be he's never going to be Adrian Peterson, is he? But he's there. The fact that he is serviceable means at least we're giving the threat of a run, which we haven't been able to do for a long time recently. And if we can work him into the offense and, you know, giving him that kind of between that 8 to 12 carries a game, that gives you enough of a threat of the run so that you can set up play action. You can allow Josh a bit more time in the pocket. You're bringing those, the linebackers on the defense are going to have to push up that little bit more just to give you that little bit more space in between them. And that's often enough. And that's given us what we've managed to do. Setting up that run in the first half, I think a lot of the time has been giving us what we've been able to achieve in the second half.
Yeah. And I mean, another good thing and a positive that comes out of this game is that O-line, all five starters played every single snap.
No injuries on the offensive line.
No injuries on the offensive line. And that was looking a pretty rough old thing because Mitch Morse, Ryan Bates, you got to hope as well another week. They surely can't have been 100% either after the Dolphins game as well. So
no.
get through that game. Yeah.
And they were honestly, the offensive line were looking like a revolving door in the first half. So was hopefully that rustiness went away a little bit because they did improve as the game went on.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think that's all. I don't think there's really much we can talk about anymore about this game. Let's see, I think it's time.
How's the wide receiver room? That would be my only other thing.
Well, yeah.
I'll tell you someone who should stay in there because I've been super impressed with him so far is Khalil Shakir.
I think
he's been fantastic. He's looked well the part. If Jameson Crowder's out for a significant period of time, which looks like it might be the case, I think Shakir can well step up. He's looked really good.
I
don't think we'll see McKenzie this week because he's in concussion protocol. Maybe he comes, but I don't think after what's happened with Tua, I don't think...
It depends if it's Tua's doctor or not, right?
Yeah.
If it's Tua's doctor, then he's fine.
I don't see McDermott, if he's still in concussion protocol, when he does come out, say, like a day or two before, I don't think they risk him, which then gives Shakir a good chance to stake a claim. But also, with the depth, and you've got Gabe Davis still struggling, really. Yeah.
He didn't look right at all.
No.
To be honest, what I would do, I would even look to just rest him, making a healthy scratch for this week because it's Pittsburgh and they've got issues on the secondary at the moment. And you've got Tavon Austin who can play in the slot. You've got Isaiah Hodgins
that
you can call up. And Hodgins has had a good off-season, pre-season, and also we had this discussion, Hodgson or Kumaro. Hodgson's now played special teams and knew that, so you've got a guy who can fill that Kumaro role until McKenzie comes back. But given that opportunity to Shakir, I think you might see a lot more of him in this in the game against the surprisingly 1-3 Steelers.
Yeah. Kumaro might need to wait for the injury report, but there's the word he might be back at practice this week, which would be good news. It may be a bit soon for him, but yeah, no, I think maybe call up a practice squad guy might be a good idea.
So, I mean, to be honest, and I say, let's go into reviewing the previewing the Steelers game. With that wide receiver room, you would want to try and rest as many as you can. So Davis, definitely for sure, and McKenzie ready for the Chiefs game in week six. So having the likes of Austin and Hodgins coming up would actually, I don't even think would be a loss in production, to be honest. Yes, you lose Davis as your second guy, but who was our second leading receiver in the game? It was Singletary, did we say?
Singletary, yeah.
Yes, you're right. Yeah, 47. Then Knox.
So, and you've got Dawson Knox in there. You've got Quinton Morris who can come in. You've got Reggie Gillum. So we still have all the pass catching abilities in there. Maybe you can rest up because, if I'm honest, I don't think there's anything really to worry in that Steelers game because they haven't got TJ Watt. TJ Watt's out. Well,
As podcasters, I am contractually obliged to say trap game because you just have to say that, don't you? That's in the contract. But I'll tell you something funny about the Steelers. I don't know too much apart from 1 and 3. Their next 4 games, including ours, is the Bills, the Bucks, the Dolphins, and the Eagles before the bye. There's a non-zero chance they could be 1 and 7.
Yeah,
going into the bye, and that Tomlin record of never having a negative below 500 season could be really on the line.
Yeah, I think you got to look at it. I mean, we're not going to see Trubisky.
No. Pickett's been named starter, hasn't he?
Pickett's been named the starter. Apparently, he did have a few. He did have a looked a bit composed on a few times, and that. Yeah. In the game, but then he threw 3 picks, and you can't really do that.
Not so much.
It's not ideal. He channeled his inner
Nate Peterman.
What I like about this game is that it's you feel whenever they bring in someone like Kenny Pickett at home, and to give them that energy, there's always that like that rush of, oh look, Kenny Pickett's in. You know, let's see what he can do. It's going to be amazing. But you feel like there's always that little come down the following week. And especially when that following week is away in Buffalo, I think we're going to have a field day with him. And I think it's going to be, I'm hoping it's going to be a bit of a bloodbath. I think that it looks like Minka Fitzpatrick's going to be out injured with his knee that he injured right towards the end of the game against the Jets. That really helps us out too, because he's phenomenal. So with him being out, that makes Josh's life that little bit easier. I mean, we always enjoy playing the Steelers, don't we? Especially recently, after all, like the terrible towels and the music that they play, and then our guys dancing to their tune on the sideline. I'm looking forward to this one. Kenny Pickett in Buffalo, first road game of his NFL career. That's not a place you want to go.
Rookie quarterbacks as well, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think, to be honest, he's just thrown him into the line of death. I think we may end up seeing Trubisky.
Yeah.
They've got nothing to lose, have they? If you're going to say, well, you're going up against a really good team, you know, see how you get on. You're not going to have too many expectations.
I really hope we see Trubisky, because if we do, that means it's gone very wrong for them.
I won't wish anything on Trubisky, because he came in, did his job for us.
Yeah.
And all that.
Yep. Agent Trubisky.
He'll be back. But
yeah, I hope he plays. Hope we see him.
Yeah. I think it's going to be an interesting game. I mean, it's going to give us definitely a big boost, a bit of a positive going into the week 6 game against the Chiefs. Yeah. But to be honest, I really can't see anything that's going to worry us. And yes, I said that last time when we played the
the Jags.
Remember Jags. And obviously, I said on the previous show that there was nothing really to fear from the Ravens. And for that first half or so, I was actually thinking, oh shit, I'm gonna have to eat Uncle Bye now.
With the Ravens, you know you're going to get a decent run-stopping defense, and they're, you know, they're always well-oiled, they're well-coached, and they've got a really good run game. The Steelers are clearly well-coached. I think Mike Tomlin's a fantastic coach, but I don't know what else I'm scared of particularly. No. I think that we can stop the run. We've already stopped a couple of phenomenal running backs already so far this year. I'm not worried about Kenny Pickett and what his ability to do against our secondary, particularly, and especially if Minka Fitzpatrick's out, I think we can pick their defense apart.
Yeah, I mean, their safety Terrell Edmonds.
They lost to the Jets.
Yeah, the Terrell Edmonds is in concussion protocol for the Steelers, obviously. Fitzpatrick, Cameron Sutton,
yeah,
are both done. Witherspoon did not play because of hamstring injury. defensive lineman Cameron Hayward was dealing with ankle and elbow injuries.
And that's a huge, like, he went out again late in the fourth quarter in that game, and Hayward's a phenomenal player. If he's not there as well, again, it just makes Josh's life that little bit easier, and it makes our offensive line a delighted if Cameron Hayward's not there.
Mm. And I think there would be, I think we've faced some good pass rushes, and I think, what, how many times has Josh been sacked this year? I don't think he's been one of the most sacked. It's been, I don't know. But
doesn't feel like it's been loaded.
Yeah. No. I mean, I'm going to have a look. Whilst we talk about this, I'm actually going to find
two out. Two against the Rams, if I remember. One against, a couple against, obviously had the Bumble against, what was it? Ravens. So about two apiece, two a game, eight.
Let's have a look. I can't even find the offensive stats. That's offensive splits, advanced stats. They were fine.
So we'll sacked once against the Titans, once against the last week, sacked twice against the Rams and against the Dolphins four times.
Oh, so eight in total then. Okay.
Yeah. In total, four against the Dolphins is the most.
Wow.
So, I mean, I think if Hayward is out and Watt, obviously we know, is not playing, I think it's really going to be, I think it's going to be the first time we're going to have probably a healthy O-line and a healthy quarterback going into a big game.
Yeah. I feel like this is one, you know, if we're serious Super Bowl contenders, this is a game we need to be winning.
Yeah.
Without too much problem. Like you said, Robin, you know, not brilliant at the moment. 1-3 after this run of four games, could easily be 1-7. I really like Mike Tomlin as a coach. He's never, ever coached a losing record for the Steelers, which is incredible. But this is new start, starting afresh, new quarterback, a lot of new players. For me, this is a rebuild year for them.
Yeah.
And I think, what I say, when you just look at the stats and all that, and just see where the Bills are in compared to what the Pittsburgh are doing, you can't see more than a big victory, to be honest.
Yeah.
If they get the players back, we should maybe even get Ed Oliver, Jordan Phillips back as well. That'll just keep it tying up. I mean, you can sort of see the Steelers staying with it for the first half, maybe, and it going in at a 13-7 or a 17-6 or something like that. You know, staying in there. But that second half, you just can't see them staying with them.
What I'd really like in this game is actually to put that first half thing to bed. Use this as an opportunity to rack up, you know, like 2-3 touchdowns and not go in as 10-10 or losing or whatever. Actually put on a bit of a display. Still play as well in the second half, but let's put that first half thing to bed now, because that's becoming now a bit of a thing about the Bills don't start well. First halves, we've not been particularly great, or at least we're not scoring the points. Let's be 21-0 up at halftime or 21-7 up at halftime. Let's put that to bed, because this is a game to do it.
I think, If you start looking at the stats and all there, obviously the passing defense for the Bills, they are still out there at number one, even with all the injuries they've had. And Steelers are down in 21st in the pass defense,
and that's with one of the best safeties in the league. Take him out, and like they're nowhere.
They're giving up 1,006 yards over the first four games, allowing their rush defense, they are 24th in rush defense, allowing in the first four games 526. The Bills are third, which as the first I've actually thought I'd hear that. Hear the Bills up there, but they're third with only allowing 335 yards per in the first four games. So defensive wise, I think there's a lot definitely to be happy about, and actually looking forward to. in this game.
Brilliant. At the
it could be a lot more. I mean, what is it? How many times they sack? Have they got? They are what? Where are we? One, two. We're fifth in total sacks with 13. 13th the Steelers are with 10 sacks on the season. With it pass rate, the pass or quarterback pressure of, well, I've just lost it, back right down the bottom of 20.5%, which is 25th in the league. They don't hurry the quarterback that much.
No.
So they're low on that as well. So for a team coached by Mike Tomlin, you would have thought that they would still be, especially on defense, be that high up, because that's what was a staple of what made Pittsburgh Pittsburgh.
I just don't think they've got the talent anymore. It's a transition period for them, and those players of those teams of yesteryear, they've dropped off somewhat, or they're not there anymore. I just don't think they're the same team.
I mean, I
think one thing we're going to see a lot of is Najee Harris. He will have 15 to 20 carries in the game. If we can contain him, that will be the key thing, I think, because I can't see them putting the ball in Kenny Pickett's hands too much.
I mean, they blitzed on 25% of their defensive snaps, which is good for what? 13th in there.
Good. Let them, because we can pick it apart. That's fine by me. It's Josh Allen's getting the ball out almost faster than any quarterback in the league. So let them blitz. That gives us loads of space. Brilliant.
One thing I want to say. Who do you think is the most... Okay, it's not related to the Bills Steelers game at the moment, but who do you think is the team that blitzes the most on defense this season in the first four games?
Chiefs?
Nope.
Raiders?
Nope. New York Giants.
Oh.
45.3%.
Wow.
Per drop, but blitzes per drop back. And the fact that we've got pretty much the number one defense and our blitzing percentage is only 8.8. That's 32nd.
Yeah, love that. I'm proud of that stat. I've always considered blitzing a bit of a desperation move. That just means you don't have enough talent to get there rushing for. So if you're having to blitz, that just leaves the quarterbacks that there are in the league now. You blitz that often. You've got to have a damn good secondary and linebackers to cover it. It's not a safe tactic against some of the quarterbacks you're coming up against.
Is there any key matchups? Is there anyone that really you think we need to watch out for the Bills that I think are going to have a good game? So a player to watch and all that, matchups or anything like that. Is there any there that you really like?
I think what will be interesting is to see who comes back from injury, and our interior defensive line versus Najee Harris. If they can stop them, or if Von Miller can get to the run. Von Miller versus Najee Harris will be a cool one.
Robin?
I'd like to see how the tight ends play on offense. I'd like to see how Dawson Knox gets on. I'd like to see how Quentin Morris gets on as well. I think if they are going to be perhaps withdrawing or perhaps resting, sparing some of the wide receivers for battles to come, I'd be interested to see if they do two tight ends, see how the Steelers respond to that.
Okay. I was going to say is how the cornerbacks would actually would fare, but then when you look at the their wide receivers, I mean, Chase Claypool is not really hit the heights recently, but I'm interested to see George Pickens against our cornerbacks, whoever goes up against him, because I think I wanted the Bills to get him in the draft, and I think he would have made a good trio with Davis and Diggs. But Pickens for me against, I'm going to say it's probably going to be Kyler Lamb or Dane Jackson. One of those two will be on top of him.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
But my other one is just is the linebackers. The linebackers for me is the position group to watch for the Bills, because you've got Pat Freiermuth, who in a way is a decent tight end, not elite and all that.
Yeah, he's perfectly serviceable though.
Yeah, perfectly serviceable. You've got Deontay Johnson, you've got Miles Boykin, obviously you've got Benny Snell and G. Harris. They can go on the slot. And what we've seen is Edmonds play pretty much the best he's played. And ironically, it's come in his contract year.
Yeah, ironic. that he pays well when he needs to get paid at the end of the year.
Yeah. And then you've got him and obviously Matt Milano, who's having another stellar season.
Yeah.
And you're really thinking that this, what we would probably would have classed a little bit as a weakness, has actually become one of our strongest positions, which is the linebacker spot.
Yeah, fair play to Tremaine Edmonds. He was magnificent in this last game. Everywhere. Mm. Exactly the player that we wanted him to be after those first couple of years. We haven't seen it enough, but he was excellent here.
Yeah. Him and Milano in tandem, they're absolute force to be reckoned with, aren't they?
Yeah. And one player I'm looking forward to actually seeing is Rousseau. I think you've seen a massive jump, and I keep saying it, he's made me eat my words after last year. Because I wasn't unhappy about the pick of Rousseau. I thought round one was just too high for him. But what he's come in and done last year and how he's actually just taken off, and I'm assuming it's the Von Miller effect on there, is just giving him a bit more time. But you've seen a substantial growth from Rousseau that really makes you think he's bought, it's like near the top. He's in top five, I think, in sacks.
Yeah.
Something like that at the moment. Let's have a look. NFL sack leaders. Let's kind of quickly look that up. 2022. There we go. So we got defense. It's fucking stupid laptop.
Top podcast content, this, isn't it?
Yeah. let's have a look. He is tied fifth with 4 sacks on the season, tied with Micah Parsons, yeah, Matthew Judon, Max Crosby, Jerry Hughes, and behind Khalil Mack, Nick Bosa, and the guy that's probably got the majority of Pittsburgh's sacks this season, Alex Highsmith.
It's pretty good company.
Yeah, there. I mean, that's elite level, isn't it?
That's
absolutely the best of the best. And TJ Watt would clearly be right up there if he'd managed to stay fit. But people like Micah Parsons and those guys, they are absolutely top draw. So with Greg Rousseau keeping that company, I'm more than happy with that.
Yeah. So should I say, are we going to go for score predictions, or are we just going to say it's going to be a straight up Bills win?
Yeah, I think we should make a score prediction.
Go for it. Who's going first?
Oh, I'll go first. I think the Bills win. And I'm going to say
38-13. 38-13, okay. Mark?
I'm going to go 42-10 Bills.
42-10 Bills. Oh, you know, I don't even think they're going to get. I think it's going to be. I'm going to go. Oh man, I know Steelers are going to get about 7 points. I think Steelers are going to get 7. I'm going to go for 38-7.
Oh, yeah.
I think I don't. I think defense has enough on their hands to do it. But what I want to do before we go, I want to do a shout out in a minute. But there's just a couple more stats that I want to throw out there. I want to see how shocked you are with each of them. Yeah. One of them is the Bills' defense has tied a franchise record with 8 consecutive games allowing fewer than 300 yards.
Yeah.
Wow.
Josh Allen now has 147 total touchdowns, 113 passing, 33 rushing, 1 receiving, which ties with Peyton Manning as the 4th most by NFL quarterback in his first 5 seasons.
Yeah, that's good.
That's impressive, isn't it? Blimey.
That's very good.
The Bills have won 10 of the last 12 games when Jordan Poyer records an interception. So pretty much almost guaranteed that if Poyer intercepts, we're winning the game.
What? Good.
And that Ravens game was the first win by less than 10 points. The Bills win, first win by less than 10 points since New England Patriots in 2020.
Yeah, the Cam Newton fumble interception thing. Well, 24-21, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think there's so many records that are actually being put out there, and it's just good to see that we're on the positive side of it.
3 of the first 4 games have been on the road.
Yeah.
Super Bowl champions, the AFC number one seed of last time, the new hot young things, and a perennial AFC divisional level, you know, playoff teams, and they're 3-1. And the ones, they should have won.
Yeah. The ones, and that plays very much into our hands in the last half of the season, because they're going to have more games in Buffalo and more games in the Buffalo conditions.
Yeah.
Coming up towards the end of the season. So it plays more and more into the Bills' hands. Because we've got to say, we're home against the Steelers, away against the Chiefs. Home against the are we home against? Are we away to Chiefs or home to the Chiefs?
We're at the Chiefs.
Home to the Packers, I think.
Away after
the bye,
and then away to the Jets. The next 4 games. But anyway, before we wrap up, anyone got anyone else last to say?
Well, Jets Dolphins at the weekend. I think that could be interesting. See how the Jets go on. Jets have got a bit of spunk about them. I like to see how that game goes on.
Mark,
I think the Jets are still naff. The one thing I was delighted to see was that I'm very pleased that the Patriots didn't manage to pull off the win against the Packers. I've got a bet with someone on my other podcast that they'll win less than 9 games this season. Everyone somehow seems to think they're going to win 9 games or more. I've got a bet that they won't. So was absolutely delighted to see that they managed to throw that one away and are now 1-3. So yes, go every team that's playing the Packers, playing the Patriots.
Well, what, the 2 more win? Well, not 2 wins. The what? 3 more defeats, and then they'll be all right. 10-6.
1-3, aren't they?
They're 1-3. Yeah.
Yeah, so they're going to, still need to lose a few first.
Yeah, they need to lose quite a few. It's going to be quite like they're at home to the Lions next week. So if they can't beat them, then they've got no hope.
It's Bob Hope and no hope, and Bob Hope's been dead for years.
I mean, their next 4 games are eminently winnable. In fact, next 5 games, 6 games, shit. All right, they've got some games that they can win. If they can't win them, then I think they're you know, I'm still confident. I'm still confident. Go every team that's playing the Patriots.
Yeah. Well, my shout-out is to everyone listening and everyone that I met for the first time down the Fitz Rover on Sunday. If you listen to this, get down to those games. It's such a great atmosphere. I mean, I've got to try and make up a few more times on there. There's a 50-50 draw that takes place every week. Person that organised it, Bridget, family actually send her stuff from America, Bills related stuff over there. Half the donations raised go in a pot and go to the UCL hospital just up the road from the Fitz Rover Bell, their cancer unit. So it's a good cause there. The atmosphere is great. And obviously, I was there and Williams was there. So met so many good people, met so many new followers who are listening to the show. So if you're ever in London, new, old, just visiting, head down to the Bell and actually and just meet other Bills fans and just have a lot of fun. The wings are all right. The wings are good. If they've got a new chef, because the other one apparently quit halfway through the night. But that's another story.
Who'd do that?
Yeah, they did.
Who'd quit halfway through a shift?
I don't know. She was a bit, I think she was a bit flustered. Then she apparently, I got told that someone told me that the chef left. So,
okay. Does she play cornerback for the Bills at any point?
Yeah,
probably. But no, I think just get down there. Obviously, continue to follow all of us on our socials. Follow the UK Bills on Instagram, Twitter, the podcast on Twitter. And for Robin, Mark, Matt, saying good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Thank you for listening. Thank you for subscribing and following. And let's go Buffalo Bills.
Go Bills.
You don't know anything about Mark? You know anything about work? No. Huh? That's who we are.
That's on three. One, two, three.